L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We'll catch up with TD in 1 hour. It's April 1st, which that means it is officially NFL draft month.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's April Fool's Day. I haven't tried to fool anybody or been fooled yet, at least as far as I can tell. Nick, I thought you might be the guy. I thought Nick might try to pull something when we came in.
I was telling Chase McJoe earlier, I was a part of a very cruel April Fool's joke. It happened on Easter when I was like 7 or 8. Just having flashbacks of it right now. Can't. Yeah. I went Easter egg hunting, and this guy ended up putting like dog crap inside of the egg. And they said it was chocolate. Was it chocolate? Oh, I didn't eat it. No, I was just, bad. Yeah.
You can't do that. Flashbacks. Come on.
Goodness.
Yeah. Oh, rough, man. Rough yikes. 7-year-old.
That's mean. That's just flat out mean.
Yeah, that is.
So
none of that around here these days.
No, not at that. All.
We'll catch up with TD in 1 hour. We'll get his thoughts just leading into the NFL draft and some moves that the Titans have made in free agency, moves that they should make in free agency. So we'll catch up with TD at 1 p.m. But want to start here. The Predators fall to the Colorado Avalanche 7-4, had a 4-2 lead going into the second period. Ryan McDonagh gets tossed, which was controversial in and of itself. And it felt like, to me, that was really the momentum shifter, that the Predators came out in the first period and they were fast and they were playing tough and they were playing physical. And it just kind of fizzled out from there. So the Predators fall 7-4. Kevin Lankinen was in net on Saturday night. Now, Willie, I look at this and I say, look, you need to not give up 15 goals in 2 games. You're not going to win very many games doing that. But I look at it and I say, special teams need to be better. The defense needs to be better. But this is a good Predators team that's just on a little bit of a cold streak is, I think, dramatic because it's 2 games.
You are
16-2-2 in your last 20 games. Like, I will take that. I will take that any day of the week. That's how I feel about it. Really, there's a portion of the fan base that I've seen on Twitter, and of course we know that the voices on Twitter sometimes can be the vocal minority, but there's a lot of voices on Twitter that, oh no, the Predators are terrible, they're going to fall out of the playoffs. This was just a facade this entire time. They were just a bad team on a hot streak, and they're falling back into their losing ways. Worry, wart, Willie. How are you feeling about this Predators team?
Okay, I'm glad you asked me as worry, wart, Willie, because I do always try to stay wary of all scenarios. For example, this is not just a Predators thing. I kept telling you guys last year with the Titans, watch out for Jacksonville. Their analytics are good. They could go on a run. And everybody's like, oh, come on. The Titans, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. Look at the money puck, or look at the – it's 95%.
You mean 2 years ago?
2 years ago. Yeah. Not this past year, 2 years ago.
That is when there was, you know, remember the days when we were talking about the Titans making the playoffs?
Yeah. But that was what the thing. They were struggling bad, but it was like, well, they're going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You just got to win one more game. They didn't win the one more game, right? So until you have clinched – you haven't clinched. So I get the worry word part of it. I will say
99.2% chance of making the playoffs today.
It's looking good.
It's looking good. Really
Willie.
Good.
And Willie. What really looks good.
So
Willie, 99.2, okay?
So
I know there's a .8 out
there. Here's worry word Willie, okay? Mm-hmm. When, first of all, I thought they played well for a large stretch of the game against Colorado. That is the toughest place to win mm-hmm. in the league. With the altitude and the team you're playing, that is a tough barn. And that being said, they did score the goal at the beginning of the second period to go up 4-2. They had them frustrated. The goalie slams, says something, gets a penalty. They make the goalie switch, and you're thinking, boy, they're in their head a little bit here. They're frustrating them. They're playing with them. Then the play with McDonagh happens, and it kind of turns the game in a different direction. So we'll talk about that. But I didn't think they played a bad game against Colorado, all things considered. So I feel good about their overall game. And you got the bonus Saturday night with the Blues losing to the Sharks. Mm-hmm. They got booed off the ice. They lost 4-0 to the Sharks.
Yeah.
That was a dagger for them. So the math is
a good thing for the Predators.
A very good thing for the Predators. Had they won that game, had the Blues won, and they're playing the Oilers tonight, that Worry Wart Willie put this out there on Friday, right? All of a sudden, you could get a little nervous playing the Bruins tomorrow and then having the head-to-head with St. Louis on Thursday. That was the pathway for the Blues to really make it interesting here. I still think you've got a pretty good cushion here. So you need probably 2 or 3 more wins if you're the Predators. Mm-hmm. Also, did you see John Hines tried to pull the stunt again, pull the goalie over there?
Not so
quite
fast,
work,
my friend.
Which I got to talk to Hinesy on this one. I just don't think it's a good way to go. I was listening to Elliott's podcast this morning. I think the way to do it would have been to try to pull the goalie in regulation and go for it there. So Minnesota, I think, is all, for all intents and purposes, they're done. So it's now just, can the Blues make a miracle rally to pass somebody? And they have to pass more than one team than the Predators. So the Predators are in great shape. If they just keep playing like this, they're going to win a few more games.
Yeah.
So even Worry Wart Willie is feeling okay about things right now.
And it is funny how it feels like the fan base has gotten so spoiled on that 18-game point stretch. It's like, you know, kids on Christmas, if you're used to getting all these toys and bells and whistles, and then 1 year you end up getting, you know, maybe things that aren't as fun. It's like, well, this stinks. Even though that Christmas morning still might be a pretty good Christmas morning, you're used to getting all of the nicest and shiniest of things. Now, look, the Predators have lost 2 games in a row a lot of times. It's happened a lot this season, and it's probably going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. Got a tough game tomorrow.
Yes.
You're playing the Bruins tomorrow.
2 games in a row is going to happen. We knew coming off of that 18-game point streak, they weren't going to win every single game coming down the stretch, but they've gotten so used to, and I say they, I mean Predators fans, we're all guilty of it. We've gotten so used to this team playing so well and winning games that losing two games in a row, it's hard to even, you know, wrap your mind around it. It's not just losing the games, I think, too. It's also, I think, a good bit of it is how they've lost these games. Given up 15 goals the last 2 games, that's just not good enough. After they, you know, shut out Florida 3-0 a couple weekends ago, have they been playing with leads a majority of the time throughout that 18-game point streak? So that's a concern. 0-6 on the power play against Colorado. Of course, that's going to be a concern, even against one of the best penalty-killing units in the National Hockey League. So, yeah, there are things that are going to get better, and there are going to be warts in the Predators game that probably are going to rear its ugly head from now until the end of the season and in the playoffs as well. But when it comes to making the playoffs, 99.2% chance, people. Like, this team's making the playoffs, and this team
is
still what they were. They still can be what they were.
They
got a chance.
You're gonna come to earth a little bit when you had 18 straight with points. Just, it's usually natural, but you've got to stay with it. I didn't think the goaltending was as good as it has been. That's part of the reason why somebody 3 of the goals are empty net goals. So that's that, you factor that in, right? It looks bad when you see 8 and then 7. 3 of them are empty net. I didn't think UC Soros had a good game at all against Arizona. And obviously, Colorado can score. Colorado, they average over four goals per game at home. They're the highest scoring team overall in the league. You're going to give up some goals against Colorado, especially there. So I take that in consideration. They probably needed to avoid a couple of penalties that they were preventable in that game. So, new challenge tomorrow. You got a whole another bear in the Bruins who go about it differently, but they're really tough.
And a really important game against St. Louis on Thursday.
Right. Yeah, I think you have a chance to put away the Blues. You could all but clinch it if you beat the Blues straight up Thursday in regulation.
Yeah.
I think the math is almost too tough for them to overcome at that point.
Well, my thing is, it's not necessarily that they lost. The concerning part about it is that they were up in both games, Arizona and Colorado. And then for whatever reason, now we can, you know, point to the McDonough, you know, play, and maybe that sort of shifted things, you know, in the Colorado game. But what shifted things in the Arizona game? Because you had both of them, both games you were up 2 goals at least. And then all of a sudden, It's like, I don't know if you took your foot off the pedal or whatnot. You were not locked in as you should have been, but you allow these teams to then come back. And then now you got to ramp it up again. They can't afford to keep, they're a good team, but they're not a Colorado team. They're not one of the, a Dallas team where, you know, we could shut it off for a minute, but we got so much high power scoring that we can pick it back up. When you have a lead, you got to stay on them. And this is what has been so good about this Predator team in the 18-point streak is that when they had teams, they buried them. They just kept relentless on and on and on. And it seemed like the last two games, when they got up, it seemed like they were not as aggressive. Let's just say that. They were not as aggressive when they got the lead. They got to get back to that type of hockey. And I know when you're on this stretch, you're tired. I get all that stuff. But the closer and closer you get to the postseason starting, you got to get back to who you are as a team. They're grind out, gritty, good skilled team. They can't afford to get up and then kind of sit back. When they get up, they got to keep going. They got to keep digging, keep going, keep going. And that's what I felt they didn't do in these last two games.
They can still score.
Oh, they can score.
Four goals in each of those losses. I think I look at the goaltending probably is the biggest smudge on the resume in these last two games. You give up 8 goals and then 7 goals. UC Saros was giving up goals against Arizona that he normally doesn't.
They had some bad turnovers, too, in that Colorado game. They had some bad ones.
Same thing, Arizona, same thing. Yeah. They didn't have as sharp a game in the neutral zone where a lot of those turnovers happen.
Yeah.
And if you aren't sharp there, even Arizona. Arizona's got some guys who can really burn you. Clayton Keller is a great player, as we've talked about. Needless to say, Colorado will burn you there. So they got to sharpen up for sure. But it's not going to go smooth sailing every game.
I'm not worried.
I think
about
the key is to just stay with it, work through. But I think there's a lot. You mentioned, I think they did take their foot off the gas a little bit against Arizona. I think they thought it might be easy after they jumped ahead so easily 2-0, and they got burned. And then Colorado, I think the McDonough play changed the game.
Okay.
I really do. That's kind of a – I understand it's a difficult job. It's a tough call. But – and I try to take myself out of it and say, look, am I looking at this only as through the Nashville prism? Because I'm looking at the bench and I'm seeing Andrew Burnett going, that's a shoulder, shoulder. That's shoulder. He's yelling it. They looked at it time and time again on the review. I just thought that was a really harsh penalty to have 5-minute major. You lose McDonough for the game. Mm-hmm. So you get the full 5-minute power play, and it's that power play.
Yes.
And you lose an ace defender. You see how important McDonough is, because after the game, it completely hurt their chances of containing the Avalanche offensively.
I do want to get into more of that call and that play, what we saw there. But first, I want to get into some of your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tim is on the line with a thought on the Predators. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. Enjoy your show. How many teams are there in the NHL? 32, 34?
32.
All right. Tell me a team that would not kill for the last 20 games the Predators have played.
Well, none.
Of course, none. I mean, they all would love to have that.
32 for 32.
That's my point. I mean, we lost two games, but you don't panic. We lost two games out of 20.
Yeah.
I'll take it all day long.
Fair.
I think it's a very fair point. Yeah. Thank you for your call, Tim.
But I think what it has to do with is what were we getting calls or texts about? Man, it's just, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. They need to lose again. They just need to lose. They don't. I think it's more so of that than anything else. It's like y'all play bad the first half of the season or not as good, and all of a sudden it seems like things come together and people are like, yes, but people also remember what happened like the first part of the season and they don't want to go back to that. It's like, man, we lose two games in a row in that fashion. Now everybody think this team, for some reason, has reverted back to the team at the beginning. No, they didn't revert back to the team at the beginning of the season. They just got beat. Now, there's circumstances within each game, you know, that causes that. But they just got beat by a really good team. And I think a team in Arizona that you may, when you got up 2-0, you may have just overlooked them like, okay, we're good. We up 2-0, we're good.
Which
and
is
all
a
of
good
sudden,
reminder to them that exactly. you can't
yeah. do that. Yeah.
Anybody on any
Absolutely.
Given night.
Absolutely. So
and I don't know what it is about Arizona. I don't know why the Predators simply just cannot beat that Coyotes team.
Going to their place is tough. It may look
They have not played well there for 10 years. We're going back to the Glendale. It just has never been a place that they played well. It's weird.
You want to know why? This is why they probably don't play well going into that. I wouldn't even call it an arena. What is it? I don't know what it is.
It's an arena, but
it's
a dinky. It's a dinky little.
They're 1-3 in that building in the little college rink that they've got there.
But I think when you go in there as a opposing team, you start complaining about everything. I'm just telling you from a former player's perspective. Like you go into it and you're like, man, look at this. This and your complaint and it's getting you away from what you came here for, and that's to play a game. Mm-hmm. Why do you think back in the day Iowa, and it may still be this way, our locker room for the visitors are pink? It's pink, you know, to try to throw them off when you walk in. What the hell is this? We get in a pink locker room. Now it's taking you off of what you need to be thinking about, the football game. You know, they do little things like this, and you having to go to Arizona and play in that, you know, chicken box,
a
basically
Polly Pocket.
Exactly,
arena.
It does sort of. It may do something to your psyche playing in that building because you're complaining about everything before you even get on the ice.
I don't know what it is, but you lost to that team that you simply can't beat, and then you lose on
good
the
good thing
road.
They're not making it to the playoffs.
Yeah, good thing you're not going to be playing there.
Exactly.
In the playoffs, that would be a sweep, and I'd say that confidently. But you lose to the team you just can't beat. Pesky little Coyotes team, and you lose on the road in one of the more, if not the most difficult places to play in the National Hockey League against one of the best teams in the league. Is that excusing some of the deficiencies that we saw these past couple of games? But I'll go back to 16-2-2. 16-2-2 in your last 20. Anyone would take that. So we're not panicking. 99.2% chance of making the playoffs. The season's not over. The team's not terrible. You're not going to not ever win another game ever again. It's going to be okay. It's
Cameron,
just two
Cameron
games.
Disagrees on the text line. The Preds peaked way too early and are completely out of gas.
Oh, they peaked too early. They're completely out of gas.
Worry Wart Willie says, take it down. Take it down a notch.
They peaked too early. They didn't peak until the basically the last half of the season. How can that be too early? Too early would be the first two
in November,
months you know, of the season. Then they peaked. I would understand what our texture is saying. But it's just been within the last month and a half, 2 months, and the season's almost over.
The drama.
But I love it. That means y'all locked in. That means y'all are locked into the Predators. That's what y'all are, and I love it.
We'll get right back into your thoughts on the Predators, not just their loss against Colorado this weekend, but the past two losses, and also a controversial call last night. Ryan McDonagh gets tossed from the game, controversial penalty. We'll get Willie's thoughts on that. We'll get your thoughts on that as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Also, want to give something away. Want to give away some Predators tickets, and we will do that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 1025-1063 The Game.
Welcome.
Caroline Willie D. Mays, 1025-1063 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Want to give some Predators tickets away because contrary, I don't want to say popular belief, but contrary to the beliefs of some Predators fans, the world still turns. The Predators will still play. The sun is still shining. Even though the Predators lost back-to-back games, everything's going to be okay, everybody. Take a deep breath. Everything's going to be fine. But I do want to give away a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Boston Bruins tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. So be the first person to answer Willie's trivia question correctly, and you will get an opportunity to see the Nashville Predators take on the Bruins tomorrow night. Willie?
Okay. I'm going to throw this out there since the Frozen Four is going on. And just see if there's anybody that has a little angle on college hockey. Just a little knowledge of college hockey is all you need for this one. We're about to talk about Ryan McDonagh and the controversial play that had him ejected from a game for the first time in his career. Now, I got to look and see how many games he's played in his career, but he's played a lot. He's never been ejected from a game before. Got no benefit of the doubt for that. What college did Ryan McDonagh play for? He played collegiate hockey. Ooh. What college did he play for? 615-737-1025. I'll say it again, even though somebody's already texting the text line. Do not text. You can't win. You can text. You're not going to win. Call Nick back there. First person to get it right. 615-737-1025. The college that Ryan McDonough played for.
All right. Be the first one. 615-737-1025. Do we have an answer? Not yet. All right, so get those calls in. But I'm glad you bring up Ryan McDonough, Willie, because Ryan McDonough got tossed from the game on Saturday night in Colorado. A controversial call, and it was reviewed for a long time. Ultimately, he gets the five-minute major and gets tossed. I watched that hit over and over again in live time, replayed, slowed down, frame by frame. In real time, it looked a little bit damning, I will say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But once they slowed it down, I thought, it doesn't really seem like it was egregious. It didn't seem intentional. Frankly, I disagreed with the decision to ultimately toss Ryan McDonough. But what did you see?
Yeah, I think it's a great example of the world we live in now with replay. Because in real time, look, it is hard to officiate that game. That was a violent collision, for sure. The puck and two players arrive at the same time.
A blindside.
And the puck never touched anybody. That was the other thing. There was no mention of interference. If you hear a ref say interference, that means the player was not eligible to be hit. Mm-hmm. They didn't say that. So that, I'm going to assume that Ross Colton was eligible to be hit, which is an important point, right? Because if you just smoke a guy who doesn't have the puck, that's egregious in itself, whether you hit the guy's head or not. So you have the type of hit that used to be part of the game a lot more, where the old saying was, and Hal Gill said this during the second intermission when we tried to get his take on it, he said back in the day, it was basically, hey, kid, keep your head up, head on a swivel. You better expect to get hit in the open ice like that. But hockey is trying to eliminate violent hits, same way, and D-Maze can relate to this, of the type of hits that used to happen all the time over the middle of the field in football. Defensive back smoking a receiver on a ball that's thrown up over the middle, right? And you kind of ruled with intimidation. In the open ice, that used to be common in hockey. They're trying to weed that out, or at least make it tougher for the guy to just get drilled on that. So the puck gets thrown out of the boards. It's a violent hit. And Ross Colton, who, by the way, played for the Lightning with Ryan McDonough for a couple of championship teams, so it's not like there's some personal vendetta. He just catches him. So the key is the initial point of contact the head or the shoulder? I think the way Colton goes down, I think it's at least, I'm trying to be as conservative as I can when I say this, 75% shoulder, maybe a little bit in the head.
Clip the bottom
as it
of his
kind of
chin.
Goes up and his, you know, your head kind of recoils, right? Mm-hmm. Your neck kind of snaps as you get hit there. And his head is down. Like this is also Hal Gill's point. If you just walked around with your head down, you're going to get hit in the head more often, but you're supposed to keep your head up. You're supposed to be aware of your surroundings there. So all that being said, I can see where you would call a penalty there. But 5 minutes and a game misconduct for contact to the head, I think was the punishment doesn't fit the crime. I don't think. It's a game-changing call.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of a whisper of any supplemental discipline for it.
I think it would
Ross
be
Colton came back in the game within a couple of shifts. On a hit like that, you're going to go to the spotter and get checked out. That's just normal protocol. Once he got checked out, he was right back in the game. So obviously, it wasn't that violent. If I didn't know better, the way Colton puts his hand up to his face, it's almost he looked like he was high-sticked a little bit, or his jaw. I don't know, but I just thought the punishment didn't fit the crime. Plus, you've got a guy that is not a notorious hitter at all. He's only had three major penalties now in his career. Mm-hmm. McDonough. He's not a headhunter. Mm-hmm. We've watched Ryan McDonough for 2 years. He's not a guy that gets eye-popping hits like Jeremy Lauzon does, or you know, other players. If that was Lauzon, then I think he might not get the benefit of the doubt. But it was McDonough. Mm-hmm. So it surprised me a little bit. Obviously, if you look at Andrew Burnett's reaction on the bench, he was not happy about it.
Well, I think it's a factor of two things here. It's a lot of times when you see these hits, and I think I'm just basically talking from a football perspective.
Yeah, because it does remind you a lot of football hits, doesn't it, when you watch that?
Absolutely.
Targeting calls in SEC games, you're like, was it targeting?
So I think it's more so the perception than what actually happened. And then they go back and they're trying to look for something that's going to not make them throw McDonough out the game or call it a personal. I don't think there was enough there for them to overturn it or for them to change anything about it, because the perception is you hit him, it's a blindside hit, and it does look like McDonough didn't hit him with the full force that he could have hit him with.
I agree.
But you hit him with the shoulder pads, and I think the shoulder pad did clip, like you said, Willie. The shoulder pad did clip his jaw area.
Chin area, yeah.
But I think the shoulder absorbed a lot of it. But when you're watching it in real time, he grabbed his face, he flails on the ground. Automatically, you're thinking, like, that was an aggressive hit. Yeah. So we're throwing him out. And you're trying to look for something that disputes that. But there's nothing to dispute it because it's so close. So if they had said, no, it's just a regular penalty, I would have been cool, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a regular. But they chose to go this route. And there's not much that I can say that would dispute that because it was so bang, bang. I think his shoulder did absorb the brunt of it. His shoulder did. But that's still a physical play, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, they don't like those hits anymore.
It may not look as physical because McDonough he didn't really go into him. He saw him coming. He kind of like just braced himself.
Yeah.
But even with you bracing yourself, and a guy, that is a hard hit. Mm-hmm. That's a hard
hit. It is a hard hit.
I mean, you got two guys going close to full speed.
Yeah, I get it why they threw him out. It was unfortunate for the Predators, but I don't think he, was trying to hurt him, was trying to hit him in the head.
Yeah.
It just, I'm taller than you. You're bending down some. I'm going at your shoulder. I hit your shoulder, but also in the act of hitting your shoulder, it did clip. Possibly clip your jaw. So I understand why they chose to go the route they
went. It's a tough one. Yeah. It's a hard game to officiate. The other factor of this is they huddled up as the officials, and they make the call, 5-minute major. But they know when they do that, they're allowed to go look at it.
Yes.
If they just call 2 minutes and say that's 2 for roughing or for interference or something like that, the crowd would boo, but they would say, all right, look, it's a violent hit. It's 2 minutes. Let's put him in the box. They couldn't go review it at that point. Mm. But if the only way you can review it is if you give 5. So they say, let's give 5. Now we can go look at it.
And we can it's
a weird thing. It's a double-edged sword of do I like that or do I not like that? Because you have to call 5. So you got 5 on the table going in. There's a lot riding on your review.
Well, it's sort of like the basketball rule.
Yes.
Where I can call a person or I can call a flagrant 1 or 2, but then I can go back and look at it and I can adjust it based upon what I see on a replay.
Right. And what I'm not clear on is what are the levels then you can do? You can come out and call 2 or is it 5 or nothing? Like, I think it should be 5 or nothing based on the review, but some people are telling me you could get 2.
Well, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, if you call a 5, and that was a hard hit. If you call a 5, to me, you should be able to bring it down to a 2. But if you don't, to totally dismiss it, I don't know.
There was one earlier this year on Gus Nyquist where he got knocked down after they scored a goal, I think. And Wes McCauley went in there. He looked at it. And I'm thinking, ooh, is the guy going to get thrown out or is this going to be a 5-minute? He said, we got nothing. We got no call at all.
But they didn't make a call, did they?
Well, they called a 5. They could go review it.
Oh.
They called a 5 so they could go review it.
Nothing?
Yeah, that's kind of...
That's what they did.
Absurd. Going from 5 to 2, I get it.
Exactly.
When it first happened in real time, it looked egregious and we watched it, we reviewed it, we slowed it down, we realized it's really not as bad as we initially thought. But to go from 5 to nothing, 2 to nothing, I get. 5 to 2, I get. 5 to nothing?
Yeah.
That is absurd. I would have been fine if it was just the 5-minute major. It was Ryan McDonough getting tossed.
Right, and that's the other tricky part. Is it, I think, if I've got this right, that if they say there is contact to the head, it has to be five in the game, which I think there maybe should be. If that's the rule, maybe there should be a little leeway of, okay, that was a violent hit. There was a little head contact, but we're going to – the right punishment of the crime is 5 minutes, but he gets to stay in the game. Where I was told if there's head contact, they have to give a five and a game misconduct. Mm-hmm. So it's a punitive – it's a double whammy because it's not just a penalty. It's a penalty and an ejection to a very important player.
And I do think that – the NHL wants to eliminate as much gray area as possible. You hit the head,
but they got a lot of gray. There's still a lot of gray in that.
There's a lot of gray. The game itself, hockey, football, basketball, whatever, there's a whole lot more gray than there is black or white on either side. I understand the NHL, one, wanting to get those hits out of the league, wanting to, you know, keep your players as safe as possible, and two, wanting to just make it concrete, cut and dry, no room for interpretation. But we've got a lot of angry Predators fans on the text line. So we are going to get right into your phones coming up next. The answer to the trivia question, Willie, where Ryan McDonough played college hockey?
Did we get the answer?
It's an interesting story because he grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota, played high school hero. But he did not play for the Gophers. He went across to Wisconsin and played for the
Traitor! Ryan McDonough, you're a traitor!
You know, I've never asked him why Wisconsin, but it was Wisconsin. So we have a winner. Who won the tickets?
Alex won the tickets.
All right. Congratulations. All right.
Good job, Alex.
Was it because of the cheddar cheese, Willie? Is that what it was? The cheddar?
Maybe. Maybe it'd be like
traitor.
Yeah.
Let's go, Badgers.
Traitor.
Right into your phones on this coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline Willie D. Mays. We'll catch up with TD in 15 minutes. We'll get TD's thoughts now that we are officially in draft month. And you can also tune in to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this week for NCAA tournament coverage brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go get your Toyota today at toyota.com. Breaking down the Predators 7-4 loss in Colorado and the controversial Ryan McDonough ejection call. Was that the right call? Did the punishment fit the crime? Did Ryan McDonough deserve to be tossed from that game? We've got a bunch of thoughts in our text line. So unless we have thoughts.
Let's go, Perry Mason. Let's do it.
Let's go to the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Garland texts in, says the Predators lost two games and people want to panic. I think it's a positive that we did lose a game to bring us back to reality a little bit. McDonough penalty was the game changer. It was a hit to the head, I think, on the replay, but I couldn't be sure if it was a shoulder to the head, but it did change the course of that entire game. Colorado is an unbelievable team. They're fast and we were actually beating them, but after that McDonough play, I believe he means McDonough, penalty, we all know the history. There's no need to panic. We will have some losses, and that's okay. It keeps us humbled.
Well, I mean, you look at the McDonough play possibly changing, but then them changing goalies. You know, you put a new goalie in net, that may change some things. You know, had you left the original goalie in there, he was so flustered, you probably could have got more than the four goals, but the minute they change goalies, and then, you know, you have McDonough out of the game, I think both of them collectively change sort of how that game was played by the Predators. You got a new guy in net, and you don't have one of your guys out there that you rely heavy on in McDonough.
Mm-hmm. I'll buy that. I think the goalie change definitely energized Colorado a little bit. But, let's see what else we got.
Blake Texan says, what should McDonough have done instead? It looked like two guys going for the puck. Is he supposed to let up and let him pass him? That is one thing, because it was just the laws of physics. They were going to run into each other. I don't know what else Ryan McDonough could have done. Watching it in slow motion, you do kind of see, once they make contact, Ryan McDonough kind of shoves his shoulder up a little bit. That maybe if he just would have stayed down, it would have
more.
looked as violent. Where he's actually kind of, his shoulders making contact with his chin. But that to me is kind of splitting hairs. That seemed unavoidable. Maybe I'm giving Ryan McDonough the benefit of the doubt that he doesn't deserve. Contact was going to happen. It's physics.
Yeah, and I'm going to again refer to or defer to Hal Gill, who played defense in the league for a long time, and he made this point. He said, "If you know you're the last guy back, right? You can't let him go, and to say, oh, I don't want to hit him. I let's just avoid contact here, because then you're liable to give up a breakaway or a 2-on-1 or 2-on-0, like on a really busted play." So he's got to stand in there. I also heard this argument from the Predators after the game that Colton, instead of two guys going for the puck, he kind of bailed out right before, and he put himself in a tough spot where if he stays in there and braces himself a little bit more and says, "Okay, we're gonna collide here. We're both going after this puck. We're gonna collide." He bails, and so he completely goes flying. Where if he braces himself for contact, it's definitely much more of a, you know, 50-50 kind of collision or something close to it.
Do you think if McDonough would have sort of turned his shoulder and hit more so of him hitting more so of McDonough's back rather than his shoulder because of the way McDonough came? Maybe if he kind of sort of turned his shoulder just a little bit, so now you're running to more of my back than my shoulder.
Yeah. It happens so fast.
But it happens so fast.
But you're right. I think probably it's the way it looks.
Exactly.
It looked so bad. I think that's what is half of the story there. Mm-hmm. Is it just, you're like, oh, wow, that's violent. That's got to be a penalty.
Because, you know? I guarantee you, if that would have been a Predator player, we would have been thinking the same thing. Like, that was a bad hit, like, on one of our players.
Of course.
Yeah, right. So, it was a hard hit, yes. I'm sure. Did he mean to do it? Probably not. But, I mean, those are plays they're trying to get out of hockey. So
there's a similar text in the text line. One texter says, just remember that if that was Yossi's chin, you would want that call.
Yeah.
Of course.
I get it.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. When it's, you know, if it's your player, you're going to want that call. If it's a player that plays for the team that you cheer for, then you are going to want that call.
No question. You're always going to want the call. And I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
I will say, I have seen Roman Yossi and guys like that get hit like that, and it's not a 5-minute major and a game misconduct. Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
Well, Kevin from Smyrna texts in and asks, or says, I think the Colorado player should have been called for embellishment. What do you think about that?
You know, he got smoked.
Yeah.
He did get smoked. Now, holding your face and skating off, I don't think you could call embellishment. Now, did he maybe sell it a little bit? Maybe. I don't know. But I can't say that. I mean, I just can't. I mean, he got hit hard.
That was a hard hit.
He got hit hard, legit.
Yeah,
so if you have the wherewithal to embellish after you get hit that hard, you're a pretty good actor.
Bravo,
so I don't think I can say that. I don't think I can say that. But it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. A minute or two after it sinks in, the 5-minute penalty's going. You've lost McDonough for the night. And then here comes Ross Colton back in the game. That's what doesn't sit well, right? Yeah. So can you call embellishment? No way you can call embellishment. But it kind of has you saying, was it really as bad as it is? Look, he's back in there. He's fine.
I think
that's tough.
It would be almost cruel to call embellishment after a hit like that. What are you supposed to do? He got drilled. They weren't going both full force, but they were going pretty quick at one another. He got blown up. I mean, it was not embellishment, but yes, was it as bad as it seemed upon first look when it happened in live time? I don't think it was, because when I saw it in real time, I thought, oh my gosh, like, is he going to be able to finish the game?
And he did.
Yeah, he did finish the game.
One of them
was. Question.
One of them. Opie Texan says, possibility for suspension. NHL Network said maybe 2 to 3 games. I did not hear that on the NHL Network, but a 2 to 3 game suspension for that?
I think that's a little bit too much.
That's absurd.
That's a little bit too much. I think if you go back and watch it, you can see that he wasn't trying to hit the guy in the head. It's, you're coming at an angle, you're bent down, I'm up, I may be a little bit taller than you as well. But to say, and it was, again, it was a hard hit, but it wasn't a hit that I think McDonough was trying to look to put him out the game or a dirty hit. It was just a hard hit coming at an angle that caused the refs to call a 5-minute. And when they went back and looked at it, it was like there's nothing really – it's hard to reverse it. So you just keep it. But I can't see him getting suspended for that.
Well, this is where I hope he gets benefit of the doubt for his track record.
Because he's never been suspended.
Impeccable. Impeccable. He plays the game the right way. Mm-hmm. He's not a dirty player in the least. He's not known for this at all. And also – and I didn't hear the discussion on the NHL Network because it's interesting – all the perspectives you get. You'll have people, depending on your point of view or your background or the way you see the play, you might have 10 people. You might have 5 people going, oh, man, that should be suspension.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the other 5 people going, that's not even a penalty.
Yeah.
That's not even – keep your head up, man. That's not even a penalty. You know, and so if you're – you got to sort all this out if you're in the NHL player safety department, right? Mm-hmm. But your track record is something. I would say that – he's already served a big penalty because of the ejection from the game. You factor that in. So now you got to say that was so bad that not only does he get that punishment, when you put your team with 5 defensemen for the rest of the game. When a guy's suspended, at least you can replace him and have 6 defensemen. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's a very severe penalty that he's already served. So I would be really surprised if there's anything on top of that. I could be wrong. And I think we would already hear it by now. From the league, but I'm double checking because now he's got me. Worry Wart Willie.
Worry
Wart Willie. Wait a minute. What did they say on the network? Who said that? Was it Gary Bettman said that? Who's saying this?
Get down to
we need 27.
Willie.
We need Ryan McDonough.
Viking Matt says, just put them in bubble wrap already. I miss old school hockey. No helmets. Tough it up, millionaires. Concussions be damned. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, listen,
no helmets.
If they didn't change it, you wouldn't have your great players still out here playing if they didn't change a lot of these rules. You know, you have to change it. These guys are – the sport is different now. They're bigger, stronger, faster. You know, so you got to – and it's a lot of money involved. So you got to change the rules. You got to change the way things are played because you want to make sure – that your marquee players are not missing games because of hits like, not necessarily like this one, but hits that sort of go down the line as this one did. I don't think it was egregious by McDonough, but these are the hits they want to take out.
I agree, and it's a hard job in that player safety department because you're trying to be consistent.
Yeah.
And you've got, as soon as you make your decision, you got 10 people going, well, that looks exactly the same as this call you made 5 years ago and you didn't suspend the guy.
Right.
You know, you have, that's a tough job. George Parros is the guy that runs it. So we'll see. I got my fingers crossed that was a pretty severe penalty to pay for that play.
Yeah.
And Colton is okay. Mm-hmm. That leads me to believe, especially with McDonough's track record, that will be it. But we'll see.
And you want them to be as consistent
you never
as
know.
Possible.
You never know.
You want them to be consistent. But let's be honest, they're not batting 1,000.
No.
No one is.
No one is.
Preds fans, don't miss this Wednesday night Smashville live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 p.m. See your Predator star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. Smashville Live is brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company and ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Teron Davenport will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie D. May is for broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
L-E-T-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.